Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's get to the 8 at 8, the Oat Show. Eight stories for you. You're listening to KILT.
Thanks for listening, Patrick Creighton.
KLT, yeah, thanks. We appreciate
Patrick is a busy dude.
He is.
He's got like a 14-hour day.
He does. And the energy level is high at nighttime, for sure. You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2, an Odyssey station.
One.
Ground ball towards short. Flip to second. Fletcher's turn. Double play ends the game. A very, very frustrating series against the Braves. The Astros drop all three to Atlanta as the Braves win it 6-1 on Monday, 6-2 last night, and today coming from behind down two in the eighth and then scoring a run in the tenth to win it 5-4.
Boy, Pena was mad. He tossed his helmet down when he grounded into that double play yesterday to end the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's certain things about this team right now where it just starts to wear thin, whether it's somebody saying, look at the back of the baseball card, or, like, honestly, oh, they're amongst the best in the league at OPS right now. Yes, that's true, and typically things do come around. It's hard to ignore some of the other things that are contributing, though, to the runs not being as high as the OPS. It's not like it's just random dumb luck. Mm-mm. Like, some years, Kyle Tucker will start off, and, by conventional stats, it doesn't look that good. But you can look, okay, well, over time, this will catch up to him. Like, Kyle had a couple years like that.
Yeah.
This is not that situation when you look at the team in general. And one of the biggest indicators is simply the number of errors. They're 16th in the league right now in errors allowed, or errors committed.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it's not the same team as in the past. The attention to detail, the base running, headaches and weirdness. It was awesome yesterday that Altuve actually looked like he knew what he was doing running the bases. But there's just something off. It's more than just, oh, it's 162 games and everything comes back and water finds its level, all of that. Something's just a little bit off.
The good news is they don't play today. They got an off day. And they're heading into a patch of schedule here with several off days. They've got 4 days off over the next couple of weeks. So I think that's going to help them. It'll certainly help maybe reset the bullpen a little bit. Although the starters have been giving them quality innings over the last handful of games. They're also heading back out on the road, which is where in the last, the second half of last season and early this season, you know, they've done some of their better work.
That's where we do our road. Yeah, we're like a salesman with a bad home life.
Yeah.
We're like, wow, the guy just, boy, he just grinds and grinds and grinds. Like, yeah, he hates his wife. Yeah.
He's on the road all the time. I'm
like, of course he does. His only refuge. Yeah.
Two.
Playing games last night. We'll go through these quick. Philly in the Eastern Conference beats the Miami Heat 105-104. So Philly, a live 7 seed, because the only reason Philly's a 7 seed is they're missing the reigning MVP, Joel Embiid, for an extended period of time.
Go Darryl.
Tad Brown. Yeah. A lot of old Rocket remnants in the building over there for sure.
What's the Daryl Morey approval rating amongst Sixers?
That's a good question. I would say, I don't know is the answer. I'm trying to think if I were a Sixer fan what it would be, but I feel like Sixer fans have a much lower threshold for getting agitated than I do with someone like Daryl Morey.
They're probably unhappy that he doesn't blitz as much as Buddy Ryan.
Let me back up.
They compare everybody. Everything in Philly ultimately gets compared to a guy who never actually won a Super Bowl. Yeah. It's got to be compared to Buddy Ryan's defenses.
This is similar to there's no bad answer to the Abreu thing. I think you could say, what do you think the approval rating is for blank in Philadelphia? And the answer is going to be 8%.
How does Philadelphia feel about its own cream cheese? Yeah. It's garbage.
8%. So Philly beats Miami. They will be the 7 seed. So Miami will play Chicago for the right to be the 8 seed tomorrow. Chicago beat Atlanta last night. Blew them out 131-116.
Yay.
3.
Bigger story in the NBA that I can sink my teeth into is this Jonte Porter story. Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter, who is he's about as fringe as it gets. He's a two-way G League player.
Is he the younger brother or the older brother?
I'm guessing Michael Porter Jr. I'm going to guess younger brother. It says at the bottom of the article. He just says he's a brother, Michael Porter Jr. He has been banned from the league after an investigation revealed he had disclosed confidential information to bettors, and he limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors. He also bet on NBA games while he was in the G League. So the limiting participation thing to me is the big one, Seth, because that's one where he's literally directly affecting the outcome of prop bets. And for those who are unfamiliar with this part of the story, players in the NBA, casinos put out prop bets, totals on things like points they're going to score, rebounds, assists in a game. Bettors bet over or under on them. Jonte Porter knew that he was going to pull himself 3 minutes into a stint in a game with an injury and told bettors that he was going to do that. These bettors proceeded to bet outrageous amounts of money on the under for his stats, his player stats in that game, including one bettor who placed an $80,000 parlay on all of Jonte Porter's personal stats. So when you get them all right, it increases the payout to, in this case, $1.1 million. Boy, they're not going to notice that when they look at it to the casinos.
It is one of the best things about league. I think people, every time there's a legal gambling scandal or something involving legal houses or whatever, I think people look at it as the beginning of the end. And honestly, I really look at it as like, nope, this is the system working the way it's supposed to work.
Bingo,
They got these. Yeah. I think that with illegal bookmakers, what would have happened is that nobody would have taken the bets. You know, like no bookie is going to be like, oh yeah, hey, guy I don't know, sure, I'll take this Jonte Porter action.
Right.
Like, they're not going to take it. But when the legal houses take it, it puts up a big red flag.
Yeah.
And then especially under the circumstances where Jonte Porter obviously just, just blatantly games it. It raises a lot of red flags and the dudes get caught. So, I look at that as a positive, ultimately. Maybe it happens more because it's more omnipresent now, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you on that. This is proof that the system works, I would say.
Your old coworker Kevin Joseph had tweeted in. He said the dumbest thing about the Porter situation is that his brother just signed a 5-year deal in 2022 and won a championship. Like, dude, you need money that bad, ask your brother.
No kidding.
Well, but I think there's a thing, though. It's the way these things work is Michael Porter Jr. has been asked for money before, probably, or knows that his brother's got issues or something, and I think Jonte just knew that wasn't like that had dried up.
Well, sometimes it's a gambling addiction too. Like sometimes it's not about the money; it's about a gambling addiction as well. We don't know the full story with Jonte.
Well,
Porter.
Right? Yeah, he might be into the bookies or whatever. Yeah, like just it's
could
whatever
be a lot
it
of
is.
Things.
Still a money issue, but whatever.
Could be a lot of things. Yep.
4.
So the dream of the Arizona Coyotes moving to Houston appears to be kaput and dead. Mullet Arena, what a great name for a hockey arena. Mullet Arena in Arizona was a buzz last night because it was the final time that Arizona Coyote fans, the few thousand that were there, are going to get a chance to watch their team because they are on the move to Salt Lake City in a deal that could be signed in less than 24 hours. A 5-2 win over Edmonton in Arizona last night. Hockey could return perhaps within 5 years to Arizona, but it is on its way to Salt Lake City. The owner of the Utah Jazz is going to be purchasing this hockey team and moving them to Salt Lake City, which I think makes a lot of sense. Localizing this story, that I think was going to be, for you hockey fans here in Houston, I think that was the big hope here in Houston was that Tillman Fertitta was going to be able to do what Ryan Smith is the name of the owner of the Jazz, what he's doing, which is purchase the Arizona Coyotes for $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
That is not happening now.
I don't I'm not crying a million tears over this. I think there's still a chance for Houston to potentially be a part of an expansion sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. So, if you're diehard, I wonder, like, how what percentage of Houstonians would you have to convert a bunch of transplants from the teams that they already root for, as well as just encourage native Houstonians to like hockey? Or could it be all native Houstonians?
I think, look, those tickets are really expensive. If you're talking about making sure the arena is full every night,
I do
think you probably need to have some of the transplants either convert to whatever the Houston team is or just enjoy going to NHL hockey. Hockey is, it's an expensive ticket, but it is an awesome live sport. It's tremendous in the arena at a
It really game. Is. It is one of those, it's kind of like auto racing. You can't really appreciate it until you see it in person. Especially with just like the speed of the collisions and everything.
For sure. Just
don't appreciate it until you... So it is a really cool environment. So you're right. Yeah, maybe you slowly win some of them over. It's just the population base is so large that I feel it's just with the right owner and the right level of showmanship to it. It's got to almost be like a Jerry Jones level of showmanship. I feel like it's certainly possible, but it's got to be, you got to really nail the circumstances more so than some of the other places.
No doubt. And I think they need to win. That's the elephant in the room is, you know, even the teams that have been here forever, if they're not winning, they have trouble getting people in the stands.
Five.
Deshaun Watson is back to throwing full speed again. He is... Shoulder surgery.
When I saw this headline yesterday, I kind of was like, oh, that's where we are with Deshaun?
We are.
I thought for some reason in my mind, I thought he had already pretty much recovered, like the potentially he could have come back by the playoffs if he had to. My timeline was all off. So he's throwing full speed again. Good.
Back to throwing.
Once he starts throwing off a mound.
Back to throwing full. He's doing soft toss today. Mm. And then he's got a bullpen. And then he's throwing off a mound. Here is Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, on Deshaun Watson.
We'll make sure that we are smart about Deshaun's rehab and focus on getting him ready for the season. And when he's ready to contribute in practice, he'll be out there based on what the medical staff tells us. Now, having said that, we're putting the system together. We're full speed ahead and in these meeting rooms and when we get out on that practice field, we're constantly trying to get better as an offense, but we're not going to speed Deshaun up just to get the offense sped up.
It is wild to think, Seth. The last time Deshaun Watson played good, winning football was in 2019. That's 5 years ago.
It's been a long time.
5 years.
2020, the COVID year. Where there was like some good, some bad. Like he played well by some passing metrics. He got into a little, I don't want to say hot water. He's not going to get in trouble for it, but he angered Steelers fans like last week. There was some show where he was watching film, and I don't know in what context he said it, but basically he said that the Steelers' base defense is kind of limited, so you can work off of that or you know what to expect. Steelers fans got all up in arms about that. And it did, though, make me think of 2020. I remember that. I believe it was 2020. The Texans went up and they played the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I went back afterwards. I did a breakdown on this. And this is where I was like, okay, well, this is absurd. The Steelers, every single time they sent a safety or cornerback blitz, it was with zero. They didn't look at the quarterback at all. Like, they knew exactly when to run blitz and that it was going to be a run and what was coming. And it was like eight times in the game to where it was obvious that the Texans had a tell of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so frustrated because it had been happening forever with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. It was so easy to diagnose and see what was coming that I thought it was curious that he pointed out the Steelers. And I hope for the Browns' sake that Stefanski has figured out some of Deshaun's tells. And how obvious they are. I know Stefanski does worry about it more than Bill O'Brien. I've seen articles with him talking about it.
Talking about the ball fakes and everything else. He's way more attention to detail, it seems like.
Six.
All right, this made the rounds yesterday. Caitlin Clark had her first press conference in Indiana. She was the first pick in the WNBA draft, of course, the legendary player from Iowa. She's now a member of the Indiana Fever. She had her press conference. And the one question that made the rounds, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, and we got to set the scene. Caitlin Clark likes to do the Jeremy Pena hard hands. That's kind of one of her things.
Those are Taylor Swift hard hands.
The Taylor Swift. For us, it's Pena here in Houston. Right. Taylor who? God, I hope my daughter's not listening. So Greg Doyle did it in the press conference prior to addressing her with a question, and it turned into a super duper awkward exchange.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
Okay. So that was awkward.
It was awkward. This is a part. You heard a lot of laughter there in the background. I don't know. Like, I think it was as much about his voice as it was. Like, there was a level of creepiness there that extends beyond just the transcripts, I think. I think that's what it was more than anything. He sounds like a creeper in a movie. I think there was a way that maybe he could have pulled that off where it didn't quite sound so creepy. Because I don't think he meant it in a creepy sexual way. Or am I too naive on this?
Well, no, I don't think.
Was it supposed to be flirtatious?
I definitely don't think it was. I don't think he was hitting on Caitlin Clark or anything I'll try to be kind here. He's a very awkward person, and he's an admittedly awkward person. Who's very, kind of maybe brash and overstated in press conference. And Greg Doyle.
He's pissed off a lot of, like, Colts coaches and GMs and what have you.
Greg Doyle likes to have Greg Doyle be part of the story quite a bit. Let's just put it that
like
way.
Yeah, like, he had a mohawk. He used to have a mohawk forever and everything, and kind of, like, in a way that, a look at me type of way.
His column coming off of this press conference was about that exchange. Where he's apologizing to her. Like, he literally, like, his big takeaway from the Caitlin Clark press conference where he's writing his column was the exchange he had with her.
Well, and I think the big thing is where I can see from, this is where it's, like, without going into Me Too territory or anything, where I get, like, from the WNBA side of things, it's kind of it would be kind of insulting is that, like, okay, he's an actual Big J journalist. Like, it's supposed to be going by journalistic standards and ethics and everything. You're not supposed to fangirl over, over one of the athletes that you're covering.
Right.
He turned into total, like, oh my God. Like, it's almost like you're not taking the sport seriously.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, you're not going to say that to LeBron James or somebody like that. Like, hey, LeBron, I'm your biggest fan. Hard hands.
Remember that time? ..
Yeah. And I think that's where it was, because I think it's not from a creepy sexual side that I thought it was weird. I thought it was weird just from that dude went to journalism school and writes for a newspaper, and he's acting that way about an athlete he's covering.
Yep.
Seven.
Quick one here. Patrick Mahomes named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people.
Oh.
Are we
good
buying
for
this?
You, Patrick.
Are you influenced at all by Patrick Mahomes?
I got to be honest with you. The influential people list, I'm never quite exactly sure. Like, okay, like, there's people that are super famous, but they might not exercise that influence.
Yeah.
I don't, like, what are they? What's Pat Mahomes? I don't think Pat Mahomes is as influential as some other players who, I don't know, are there maybe, I don't know. He doesn't seem like a guy that's influencing people in the business side of things or anything. Like, LeBron got to the point where he was kind of re-engineering the way business is done.
Sure.
I don't know if Pat Mahomes is quite there in terms of that. And I say that while saying
he's awesome.
Clearly the best football player of this generation.
Right.
Eight.
Last one. Congrats to Ryan Elvin, U of H walk-on legend. Cougs basketball player, graduate assistant for the Cougs. That got a big reaction from the Cougs yesterday. They love old Ryan Elvin, man, when he comes in and drops threes at the end of games.
Walk-on.
So that was cool. So let's toss that one in there for the Cougs in the 8-8. The Chevron Championship, the first major of the year for the LPGA Tour. It's happening this weekend in the Woodlands. Adult tickets start at $35. Kids 17 and under, free. So get out there. Great weekend to watch some golf. The best golfers in the world tee it up. Tickets and information at the ChevronChampionship.com. That's where you can get your tickets. All right, up next, Seth just talked about having a tell. It turns out, according to Mark Schlereth, the Texans had a tell in their run game last year, and he thinks that's why they had such a difficult time running the football. What was the Texans' tell in their run game. We'll hear from Mark Schlereth, former offensive lineman, three-time Super Bowl winner, who was a guest on my Hutopia podcast this week. That is coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. I have Mark Schlereth as the guest on my Utopia football podcast this week, or for Thursday, two episodes a week. Tuesday's the mailbag, Thursday's the guest. So this drops today, but we've got some nuggets from it. You can hear the entire conversation wherever it is you get your podcast. Hutopia football podcast. I asked Mark Schlereth, Seth, about the offensive line and the run game for the Texans, and I thought this was interesting. You just talked in the previous segment about having a tell. I forget what we were talking about, but having a tell.
Yeah, the Texans when they played the Steelers.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Yep. Yeah. That's right, back in 2020. Mark Schlereth said the Texans had a tell in their running game this season.
There were two distinct kind of conceptual ideas about the way they were going to run the ball, and it became a real tell, which is a real hard thing, you know, for your offensive line.
Yeah.
Because Singletary was a more of a zone, you know, cutback runner, more fluid, where Pierce is more of a gap, straight downhill duo, that type of runner. And so depending on which guy was in, you already told the defense, if we run the ball, this is what we're running.
Yeah, and the other part of that, too, is it's not even necessarily always that you're saying exactly what you're going to run. It's just when the defense knows what you're good at and what you're bad at. That's where it's almost – like, I think sometimes you make too much. As a defensive player, it's not as important to know exactly what play is coming most of the time. It's more that a lot of times you know what – they're bad at out of a certain formation, or what would be like what is unlikely to be run, and then you can really focus your energy and your power at stopping the stuff that's dangerous. And it got very easy for the Texans to figure that out between Devin Singletary and Damian Pierce.
Well, and the question that I asked, and the question that led to that answer was what improvements can we expect to see with you having played in that system, the Mike Shanahan system? We hear that that's a system that, you know, year two is where you see the big jump. It's a tough system for people to kind of grasp fully in 1 year. What kind of jump can we expect to see from the Texans' offensive line? He eventually got to the offensive line, but his initial reaction about the running game was it had more to do with the running backs than it did the offensive line.
Yeah.
And he was very bullish on what Joe Mixon could bring to the table for them.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, because Mixon's been doing similar stuff. It's not, there's no concern about him fitting into the system or
not. That's right.
So that part of it, I think, is good. He also, like, Mixon, I know one thing that Bengals fans got frustrated with him is that he doesn't necessarily maintain his balance well after contact, which is, that's the kind of stuff that keeps you from being an awesome back.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to just executing this system, there's, in some respects, Mixon's running style is good because, like, first and foremost, they don't want to have any negative carries. So, like, it's they really put a premium on, like, we don't want to get behind in the sticks. You got to get 4 yards. Get 4 yards. You got to figure out a way to get 4 yards. They'd rather have, like, steady 4, 5, 6 yard gains than a few home runs, but then a bunch of, you know, 0 yards or stuffs or tackles for a loss, which they've had the last few years.
That's so funny you say that. Like, at one point during the conversation with Schlereth, we were talking about the running game, and he was bringing up numbers about when the quarterback's under center versus in gun, because the Bengals are in gun a lot, you know, so that he thinks it'll be better here for Mixon with the quarterback being under center.
Well, yeah, that was a huge part of last year. Remember the stat I had, Sean, where it was like through the end of November, the Bengals had been in gun on like 97% of their
right.
runs. And in this scheme, Joe Mixon is going to be really good for what they want to do in this scheme, which is have the quarterback under center. And the running back gets a big old downhill head of steam before he even gets the handoff.
Yep.
And it's just a whole different dynamic than trying to run out of gun. Some of the Joe Mixon drop off last year, it looks startling when you look at some of the advanced stats. It's very definitively tied to, like, which formations he's running out of.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not concerned about it.
And they're having to protect Joe Burrow, and that's a lot of the reason why they're doing some of the things they're doing. That, you know, they don't have that issue here, and CJ's under center a ton. And you can hear Schlereth talk about it fully on the podcast. I didn't pull these cuts, but since we're talking about it, he said they did a study in Carolina when Christian McCaffrey was there about McCaffrey running out of shotgun versus running out of when the quarterback's under center. And he gained a full yard more when they were running out from under center because, like you said, that head of steam is a fraction of a second that the defense needs, that the defense doesn't get to react to Christian McCaffrey.
It's like, it's the difference between riding your bike on the right-hand side of the road or the left, you know, that closing speed. There's a reason you ride on the right-hand side of the road because there's the closing speed isn't as great for the cars that might hit you.
Yep.
So, like, when you've got QB under center, the running back gets a downhill look at everything and has vision before the handoff that allows him to make some of the decisions in advance. Just a whole different, and it makes life a lot more miserable for the linebackers, first and foremost. That's why the play action is so effective with a QB under center.
And he talked about play action too in the conversation. It's a good conversation.
Yeah.
A little more with Schlereth here. He, of course, is in Denver, 104.3 The Fan. And I think somebody, Texan fans, are still maybe not enamored with, but interested in, as far as free agents go, you know, when names come up as to who's still out there. And, well, the Texans still do have a decent chunk of cap space, I'll say. Justin Simmons. Schlereth covers him on a daily basis. Here is Mark Schlereth on former Broncos safety and now free agent and Pro Bowler Justin Simmons.
So for Justin, I think for him, he'll be in shape. He'll train. He's, like I said, he's one of the great people in this league. He really is, which to me fits completely with what I know about the Houston Texans organization and the time I've spent with you guys. And he's going to sit and wait till after the draft and see what the best fit for him is that gives him the best chance to be a playoff contender and a Super Bowl contender. Because let's face it, and you know, he got drafted here in Denver in 2016.
Yeah.
And they went 9-7 that year, and they haven't had a winning season in all his years in Denver with Pro Bowls and All-Pro, and so that'd be a great fit for him.
That's honestly, I'll be the first to, like, you know, point out to people that the Broncos haven't had a good season in a long time, because people continue to talk about the Broncos like they were a perennial playoff contender, like 4 years after they stopped making the playoffs. But the fact that Justin Simmons has never actually had NFL success as a team play, like on his team,
on
that's kind of weird after playing his career with the Broncos.
Yeah.
That feels weird.
Right.
The fact that for him it would be a step up going to a team that's looked at as a Super Bowl or a playoff contender. I think the one with the Justin Simmons, though, in coming here as a free agent, even after the draft, is Simmons is going to have a lot of questions, obviously. Like, okay, I look at the depth chart, and you got Jimmy Ward and you got Jalen Petrie on there as their starters. How exactly am I fitting in, and what's it going to look like?
Yeah, it's funny. You would like this part of the conversation, Seth, with Schlereth, because the initial part when I asked him about Simmons, And, you know, part of my question was, you know, what do we think he's looking for contractually? You know, does he think he's still that guy? He was making $15 million a year. And Schlereth said, these guys need to realize none of them are making $15 million a year anymore. And he called it the Vic Fangio effect. And he said Fangio was the one that started playing those high shells with the safeties there, which made the safeties these erasers in the defenses. And he, and Vic Fangio got a lot of safeties paid because of that defense he was playing. Right. Then guys like Kyle Shanahan and other Coop Shanahan guys figure out, all right, well, we just start throwing underneath and let guys catch and run. That's the way to combat. So the league is now adjusted to where, sorry, safeties, you missed your window to get that Vic Fangio rub.
No, I got to think, like, Vic has probably been chuckling a lot over the past decade or so when people, like...
Those who don't know, you, like, you played for Vic.
Yeah, I played for Fangio. Yeah, like, people are acting like he invented cover two. It's hilarious because it turned, like, everything comes in cycles in the NFL. And, like, Vic's out there doing a lot of stuff that, frankly, they've been doing a lot, like, at various times in the history of the NFL. Fangio's been in the NFL, well, the USFL and NFL since the 1980s, you know. And, like, yeah, all of that is awesome, but especially when you've got really, really good linebackers. Because if you're going to play your safeties super deep, that means your linebackers have to cover like crazy. So, like, when Fangio was in San Francisco, he had those stud linebackers. He could do a lot of different stuff. It just, yeah, you got to have the right personnel to do it.
Yeah.
And but, like, people start trying to just cram everybody into Fangio's system, and you realize, oh, it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, he thinks, like, Schlereth thinks, like, you know, like $7 or $8 million is around the number for a safety like Justin Simmons now, whereas it was double that, you know, when the safety, the, you know, the quote Vic Fangio effect was going on.
But you also, I mean, there is still room for the people who are the freak athletes of the world and everything.
For sure.
And, like, Justin Simmons isn't that guy right now.
Right.
You know, Jalen Petrie, I think, can be a viable, good, maybe a really, really good NFL safety. He doesn't have the elite traits of some of the guys that are, like, genuinely exceptional safeties.
Well, I think, but you also have two safeties as well. If indeed you were entertaining signing Justin Simmons, and I would love that. Like, that would be a Schefter tweet that if we saw, that would get me really excited, you know, independent of what the numbers are. I'm assuming whatever the numbers are, that Nick Caserio is doing it in a very responsible fashion. Yeah. So I don't think it's not going to be an overpay, that we know. But you do have two safeties right now in Petrie and Ward that could bump down and play slot corner if you wanted to. You know, it is possible to get all three of those safeties on the field at the same
right.
time.
Oh, right, yeah. And that's, again, you know, when it comes to depending on what the matchups are, especially versus tight ends, like having more safeties on the field, the better. And like on a game by game basis, there's a lot of really good reasons to have Justin Simmons on this team, even if he wasn't starting. I think it would probably start off being Jimmy Ward and Justin Simmons, but then you would still also have a lot of reasons and options for Jalen Petrie. So it's I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but if it's going to be a little bit more of a less defined role for Justin Simmons, it might also mean a little bit, he might want a little bit more money to come here compared to somewhere else.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. I said back during the college football season that I was waiting. It's when I saw this player do what he did during the college football season, I said, man, I cannot wait for the anonymous scouts to weigh in on this. It took us till a week before the draft, but they're coming out of the woodwork, and I am here for it, and you'll be here for it as well, and that is coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, you know that ever since I saw that USC game where Caleb Williams' first instinct after losing a game was to run up into the stands and sob into his mom's shoulder.
Yes. And we were quickly admonished by adult sports media that if you were to make any kind of judgment about that whatsoever, then the worst person on earth, and that somehow you probably, like, you know, throw kittens and sacks off of bridges into rivers.
Right.
Yeah, like all of that. You cruel-hearted monster. How could you be upset about the leader of the football team crying in his mama's arms in front of everybody? How could you possibly think that might be relevant?
I poked fun at it and walked over and kicked a puppy and then started making fun of it even more. Yes, horrible person.
No, it was right. And then all the jokes you told got on record that I recorded in my pocket.
Right. As it turns out, according to 8 anonymous scouts interviewed by Dan Pompey of The Athletic, They did an article here where they talked about the top 6 quarterback prospects. So Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and then Bo Nix and Michael Penix they threw in there. Those are the top 6 guys. Those are the 6 quarterbacks that are believed to be able to go in the first round of this draft that's coming up a week from now. So
that's their alliance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
like, Survivor. Six.
That's the 6. Yeah. So Dan Pompey did an article, and he talked to 8 different scouts, and they came up with a scoring system for intangibles. I don't need to go too deep on the scoring system here, but they tried to come up with some way to measure the seemingly immeasurable. And of those 6 quarterbacks that I just named, in the intangibles department, ironically, because he's probably going to go first in the draft, last place among the 6, Caleb Williams, USC. 124 points, whatever that means, but it's more about the comments.
So it's ironic. That's Jose Abreu's OPS right now.
It's 124. Yes.
Yeah.
So we know that Caleb Williams gets compared to Patrick Mahomes in terms of the physical traits a lot, right?
Right,
the arm
right.
talent and the, you know, the elusiveness, all those things, all the ability to improv and whatnot. 4 of the 8 scouts rated Williams last overall in immeasurables, and 3 rated him next to last. So none of these 8 scouts are all that big on the intangible stuff, the immeasurable stuff with
they
Caleb
also,
Williams.
But they also, most of them don't think that they're, like, he's the absolute worst amongst it. It's just he had the most negative or mediocre votes out of all of them. Yeah. Whatever that's worth.
Okay. So here are some of the comments from the scouts. Scout number 2. I think his toughness has yet to be determined. He's had a red carpet runway experience at every stop and hasn't had much to overcome. But when you end up sobbing in your mom's arms after getting beat, that's a disqualifier for people who aren't picking in the top few picks, which is a curious thing to say. I would think, I guess maybe if you're picking in the top few picks, you're ready to swing for the fences, but other teams are just like, well, that's
right, yeah, okay, like, oh, if he drops to 10, then he's not good enough for us. But if we're in the top 3, all right.
Let's agree we don't understand that last part, but the mere bringing up of the sobbing in your mom's arms after getting beat.
I will say, like, it is interesting. Something happens when people play football in Los Angeles or they put a team in Los Angeles or something where all of a sudden everybody talks about it like, like there's nothing that can be bad in Los Angeles. Like that you're out surfing every morning or something, and that's why anybody would want the job at either USC or the Chargers. Anyway. Instead of like the reality, which is football coaches are in a bunker 18 hours a day. Yeah. They never see the sunshine. So likewise, is it fair to say that Caleb Williams hasn't faced adversity at USC? I mean, they drastically fell short of expectations.
This year
I felt like he had adversity this year.
Well, I think to your point, I agree with you. His reaction was to go cry in his mom's arms. You know, like right. Look, you know, here's a scout who's bringing it up. You know what I mean? Like it's
no, it is like look, there's an element. All of the stuff that people talk about with character, body language, everything. I think it's largely overblown, except when it comes to the quarterback.
Right.
Because you are who people look to as the face of the organization. The players look at the quarterback and kind of, just like on a football team, players take on the personality of their head coach. They also take on a lot of cues from the quarterback,
yes,
on offense especially. So, no, I think that's, yes. As a human being, there's nothing wrong with Caleb Williams crying in his mother's arms. As a quarterback, it's a different story.
Right. Now, here's a scout who kind of takes up for Williams. He says, I think the crying incident was more frustration. He's a competitor and doesn't quit on plays. I'd say he's extremely tough. End quote.
Okay, so nobody that saw him crying thought it was that he was crying because he wasn't competitive.
Right, we all agree it was frustration, right?
Lots of super competitive kids throw tantrums and cry or melt down or don't handle themselves emotionally well when they're 12. Yeah. That's the whole thing. A young Peyton Manning, I would imagine. I could imagine this completely and totally out of a hyper-competitive 12-year-old Peyton Manning. It's just a matter of, all right, once you get up and you're the face of the team and all of that, are you still responding to certain things the way that that teenagers or preteens do?
Yep.
It's a reasonable question.
Yep. There's some interesting ones in here.
Or crying after a game. Like, it's out. Like, honestly, there's something, like, there's nothing to be ashamed about as a grown man crying whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's not, like, there's zero to be ashamed about with that.
Right.
It's just a matter of, like, the public side of
it. Yeah,
yeah. And in what circumstance.
Well, read the room. Like, he gets a lot of criticism in here about body language
crying in your mom's arms after you win the championship. Totally acceptable.
Yes.
100% acceptable, you know?
He takes scout number 8. He takes hits and gets up, and he's handled a lot of pressure well. That makes him a 4. What makes him a 4 instead of a 5 for me in toughness is how he shows some disappointment with his body language. He buries his head in a towel and doesn't always act the way you'd hope after the game.
Right, right. This is something that I think CJ Stroud did extremely well in the first part of the season when he was dealing in that Ravens game with 4 backup offensive linemen. There was never a point this season where I thought he expressed frustration with the offensive line. Now, over time, that can change as his leadership grows, you know, with like, okay, when he's the taskmaster, but that's different than, it's different to be proactively coaching guys up versus just going into a tank or having a towel over your head or doing a lot of the stuff like that. Like, CJ's very aware of that stuff. And, you know, worked on it in college, talked about it with Ryan Day. However much Caleb Williams has talked about that with Lincoln Riley, it doesn't seem to have had the same effect.
How about this one? And I'm cherry picking. There's like 25 comments in here. I'm picking the ones that are the most interesting. Between series, this is a scout saying this, between series, he wasn't a guy who went up and down the bench to talk to teammates. They had to come to him. I thought he operated in a bit of a silo, but teammates do speak highly of him, end quote.
Ah, that's interesting.
So does he need to be, that feels like he's not, I don't even know if it's the rah-rah guy. Like, I feel like.
We're just going out, like, being like, oh, hey, I got to talk to the receivers about something.
About this.
You go and seeking them out and talk to them about
CJ
it.
CJ does that. Right. Like, CJ is very active on the sidelines.
Talking to the offensive lineman about pass protection or, you know, having your center change his jersey because it's too sweaty, like CJ did this year.
Right, right. No, seriously, stuff like that, absolutely.
Like that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yep, no question.
Being a good, that's the whole thing, like, because people love their military analogies, but I think sometimes when football players start doing the military analogy, they assign themselves too high a rank.
Yep.
Like, there's certain things that generals don't do, you know? There's certain things that colonels don't do. But none of us in this game are generals or colonels.
No.
We are, you know, if you're a player on the field, you're a non-commissioned officer. You know, you gotta get your hands dirty.
Yep.
You're gonna lead in a different way than like, don't be calling yourself a CEO or something.
Right.
You're a mid-level manager, and sometimes you gotta be the one unloading the delivery truck.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Text message. Everyone cries in their mom's shoulder after losing a game. ... When they're five.
Exactly, right. I know. It doesn't help him that his dad's kind of pulling all the strings behind the scenes, too.
Yeah,
you get very much this image of a guy that is a little too sheltered. I think that's where the sheltered part comes from, probably, is in having a father that's very involved in all the business aspects and having a mother who opens up her bosom for her son to cry in.
Yes. Yeah, dude, this is...
I wish she would have had a... Did she have a... She probably would have breastfed him if she'd had a shawl, but she didn't, you know...
Well, there was a towel of some sort there, like, over him, you know?
Maybe that was the breastfeeding shawl.
Could have been going on. Yeah, man, we don't know.
What age... What's the over-under on the age at which he stopped breastfeeding?
Nine and a half.
Let's do it by geography.
Nine and a half.
He's hills of West Virginia.
Yes.
That's
yep.
My brother, when he was recruiting for, my brother used to recruit wrestling and, in like West Virginia and a lot of backwoods places in PA.
Yeah.
And that was one of the weirder moments he had, was when he was speaking to a recruit and a kid like way older than anybody. A kid speaking perfect sentences and wearing little kid clothes walked up and took a suckle off of mama.
Well,
they're sitting there talking.
No.
Yeah.
Are you?
It's like 4 years old or so is what he thought, maybe. Yeah.
Oh my God. Hey, Ma! Get over here!
Ma! Did you eat some lasagna?
I said no asparagus, Ma.
I'm going to need you to eat some lasagna.
Kid's got like a pube mustache. Hey, Ma.
Got some lasagna-flavored milk, please.
Someone says Tebow cried at Florida. Okay.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Tebow cried as he was... He was an awesome NFL quarterback. Yeah. There's no part of being sheltered at Florida that helped him succeed or anything.
Yeah, right.
That's a good point, though. Tebow did cry in that annoying speech that he gave about going so hard and everything, that they actually memorialized.
They did. They made a plaque.
It's one of the more embarrassing speeches in the history of American sport.
No team will try harder.
It's honestly, it was the stupid, most blubbering nonsense idiocy.
I promise you.
Like, Tebow, when Tebow got to the NFL, there were people in the huddle who were like, will you shut the hell up with your pep talks and just call the play?
Ask David.
And come out here and try not to throw a wobbly duck of an interception.
David Anderson was in Broncos camp in 2011. He's got some awesome Tebow stories.
Oh, yeah. Tebow's act wore real thin once they realized he couldn't play football.
Yeah, and of all the people, like David Anderson, who now runs an analytics company, like of all the people get into the huddle and listen to all the rah-rah stuff from Tebow. Like,
hey, guys, I'm the worst player on the team. Let's do it.
Yeah. Guy's throwing like he's throwing a shot put. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a... on a Thursday, we head into the 9 o'clock hour. Justin,
I want all Payne and Pendergast listeners to know.
I promise.
We'll be better.
Justin Verlander starts tomorrow for the Astros. This is a pretty damn important start for one person in particular, and it ain't Justin Verlander. We'll tell you who it is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.